Yes. It will be the same time as the lecture, which is So I was hoping there wouldn't be the issue of conflicts, because I was hoping there wouldn't be conflicts. But I was just told by a student that there is another course that some of you guys are in that conflicts with that time slot. So hoping to accommodate people, so it will be just the same time slot as the course. And so if you are ill, or have, you know, whatever issues or whatever reason, to be, you know, why you can't write it that day, or you know, somebody's come up in your own personal life or illness or all that kind of stuff, be in touch with me, because I can't give leniency if I don't know about it, but I'm generally fairly open to that. Like, yeah, don't go too overboard with that. Like, I've had a student come to me one time when I was teaching and say, can I have an extension because I don't think you're teaching the course well? And it's like, you're in the math department, none of us teach very well, so Elizabeth. And so, yeah, but if it was something like, you know, illness, you know, deaths in families, or just like major traumatic events, things like that, you know, I can't give leniency if I don't know about it, but, you know, do come talk to me, and I'm usually pretty open to that. We'll work out something with, like, reweighting your marks or something like that, or, you know, maybe if there's sort of, like, a reason a block of students have had trouble making a certain time, we can do, like, a makeup test. My inclination is more towards reweighting just because, you know, dealing with the issues of having a secondary test is a lot more difficult, but religious accommodation, that's another issue that sometimes comes up. So religious accommodation, that's important. That certainly happens if something gets scheduled on a date that is a religious holiday for someone. I think it's, you know, important to respect that, but unfortunately the other side means is that, yeah, sometimes it makes it very, very hard to schedule a date that's going to work for absolutely everyone. So basically, yeah, I'm going to do what I can, you guys do what you guys can to just be in touch with me if there's going to be an issue around this. Because again, religious leniency, that's really important, but I can't do much about it if I don't know, so if there's like a religious holiday that is conflicting with it, let me know, and we'll look around that. So, yeah, this is the announcement. The first one is going to be on October 7th, and if closer to the time something happens that you can't make it, like you get sick or something like that, we'll work something out. So, the day before all the midterms, like the course meeting before that, will usually be a review day. So unfortunately, if you can't make that Friday before that, and that's unfortunately really missing. But you know, hopefully you'll have buddies who will sort of fill you in. So we have close to the time. I'll talk a little bit more about that and what's going to be on it. But yeah, keep that date open. The meeting before that. If you let me know ahead of time about anything you'd like to see review on, I'm more likely to cover it. So again, I'll discuss this a little bit more closer to the time, but if there's something you want to see review on, something you want to see solve some problems or discuss a little bit more, or if you're, you know, struggling with, let me know before the review session, and that gives you something to work with. I can try to cover that. I will also try to take questions in class, but if you give me a chance to prepare, I might be a little bit clearer. Yeah, so that's the main announcement, is that I'm going to try to get that scheduled now for October 7th. I guess I've been warned also that sometimes Fridays might be bad for people in general, again, for religious observances, so that's something I can try to work around. Again, let me know. Anyway, yeah. It's going to be 2 weeks, so don't worry yet, don't start panicking. It will roughly cover probably the, again, I haven't set the exam yet, and I will see what I can get through, so obviously if I don't have a chance to get through certain material, I, you know, won't be, you know, I won't be doing that on the exam. But it's going to roughly cover chapters 12 and 13. So we're currently still working our way through chapter 12, which is mostly a review of linear algebra, and I'm hoping that I can get that wrapped up, or mostly wrap it up today. And then we'll start with the actual calculus part, which will start next week. So that's going to be some actual calculus stuff. Chapter 13 is just getting our feet wet into calculus. It's sort of the easier part. So, and it's a relatively short chapter. So hopefully that will be something we can get through before the first midterm. And that will roughly be what's going to be on it. So what we've been doing this last week has been kind of either a review of some of you who have been taking linear algebra. It's been an intro to linear algebra. It's meant to be very, like, very review, very, very sort of whirlwind, breakneck kind of discussion of it. Some of you are going to be taking a linear algebra course, or either have taken one or will be taking one later, or are currently taking one, and you're going to definitely get a lot more in that. But this is the linear algebra that you need for this course. Again, some more of your talk as you go, and I'll cover it as you go, so I'm not expecting you to know linear algebra, but it's not a very good introduction to linear algebra. It's not meant to be very thoroughly done.
lessons are we going to, like, read for this course?
This is actually mentioned on the website. If you go to Moodle, it sort of says with the personality. So it is going to depend also on what I can get through. So it's a little bit up in the air. There's a little bit of, like, there's no guarantee it's only going to get through. All right. So, yeah, as I said, today I'm hoping to sort of wrap up our linear algebra. I know it's been a bit whirlwind, but might leak a little bit into the next week a little bit. Or at least some of the sort of higher dimensional visualizations, but hopefully next week we can actually get a real start on actually doing some calculus. Because some of you who signed up for this course are doing a calculus course, might have noticed we haven't actually done any calculus yet. All right, so some of the objects we're going to have to look at are, we're going to be looking at today's subsets of the higher dimensional spaces. So we're looking at two and three dimensions. We've looked at vector spaces, and in particular at dot products and cross products. We're now going to be looking at subsets of these vector spaces, because these are sometimes the objects we're going to be working on. We might not be working on just three-dimensional space. We might be working on instead a sphere or something like that. We might be doing calculus on a sphere. So we're going to be looking at these subsets. But the simplest ones to look at are lines and planes. And so these are the really basic ones that we're going to need. And these are still kind of in the realm of linear algebra. So the tools we have so far are this dot product, and as well as the algebraic function, like adding vectors, subtracting them, multiplying, that kind of stuff, and the dot product and the cross product. And these are really useful tools to have. So one of the things that we learned about the dot product is if we take vector A dot vector B, then this number is equal to the length of A times the length of B times cosine of theta, where theta is the angle between these two vectors. So from the sharp right among you might realize that the dot product I mentioned can be positive and negative, and so the cosine, and then these are just going to be positive. So this will give you some sort of a measure of the similarity of the two vectors, in the sense that if you look at what the cosine looks like, it looks like that. So if the vectors are pointing kind of the same way, cosine is at its biggest. And as they start pointing farther and farther apart, it gets smaller until they hit perpendicular. So this is either 90 degrees or pi over 2, whichever you prefer. I will probably switch back and forth between radians and degrees kind of without thinking about it. Just don't get too nervous about it. Some of you are more comfortable in degrees, some of you are more comfortable in radians. I'm not even going to notice which one I'm saying all the time, so don't worry that it's you that's confused. It's me saying that's either 90 degrees or pi over 2 radians. And that's when they're perpendicular. So it's a really good test of whether things are perpendicular. And then when it goes into the negative, that's when they're pointing opposite directions. They're pointing away from each other. So they're actually very different vectors, and that's what that's measuring. And then as they start to point towards each other again, it's positive. So this is a really useful tool. As I said, I will often ask you questions either where I might want you to calculate something like a cosine, giving you two vectors and saying what's the cosine of the angle between them, and you're going to need to know to use the dot product. Or I might give you a geometry problem where you need to find the cosine or need to get a handle on it in some way, and you'll need to know that you can use the dot product. And one of the things that we're going to use today in particular is that's very useful is when we're doing projections, so if you want to project onto a vector, this is really useful to have. So what this is if we have two vectors pointing in different ways, and this is our angle theta, if we want to project this vector, vector A, vector B, if we want to project B onto A, so this is what B looks like projected onto A. You may have heard that terminology before. You're projecting it onto, just like a projection screen. We're looking at, or we can also call it the component of B in the direction of A. So B has something that points this way and something that points another way. And we don't know what our coordinate axes are doing here. We don't know how these are pointed relative to our coordinate axes yet. We want to figure out what the length of this vector is. The best way to do that is using the cosine. So we remember from our triangle, we remember from our trigonometry, we have a unit triangle, so the length of this line is 1, Hypotenuse is 1, and this is cosine of theta, and this is sine of theta. So using that, the length that we want here is b sine of theta, sorry, cos of theta, because this is how the triangle, so if I move this triangle so it's over here, this is where my right angle is, this is going to be the cosine, this is the hypotenuse, which is of length b, and this is going to be the sine, but we're not worried about the sine. The sine is the part we're trying to get away from. So if we want to calculate this quantity, we want b cos theta, and we want it to be in the direction of a. So how we're going to do that is we're going to say, well, how do we figure out the cosine? Well, we can figure out the cosine by saying that the cosine of theta is equal to a dot b divided by the two lengths. And then if we wanted to go in, so that would give us this, so if this were the unit triangle, that would give us this cosine. But we want to multiply it by b because the length of this is the length of b. Right, that in, which is the length of b. So we want to multiply this whole triangle by b. So instead, we get a similar triangle where this is the length of b. This is the length of b times cosine of theta, and this is the length of b times the sine of theta. So knowing this geometry, so this is the length of b here, and this is the length of, we want to get the length of b cosine of theta. So here we have cosine of theta, and this is the quantity that we're looking for, so we just multiply both sides by this length of b. So we got a dot b divided by the length of a. So that's the length that we're looking for. And if we want to make this go in the direction of a, so we're not just looking for the length of the projection of b onto a, we want to look at what the projection of a looks like, or projection of a onto b looks like, then we have to multiply this by a to get it in the direction of a. But a might not be a unit, so we're then going to have to divide it by its length again anyway. So projection.
Can we just put the accent showing to get it in the direction of a?
Oh, we could do that if we wanted to, but that doesn't need a calculation. I still have to go over that.
We have
notations. The projection
of vector b onto a is taking this and multiplying in the direction of a. So we get a dot b divided by the length of a, and then we multiply it by the vector a. And then we divide it by the length of A again. So yeah, as soon as I mentioned, this is what's called a unit vector. Sometimes you will see some notations of this in particular, but we'll get this as our value. So we get A dot B divided by the length of A squared times A to put it in the direction of A. So this will give us this vector here that we were looking for. So the projection of B onto A is given by this formula. As Sujata mentioned, this part here is the unit vector in the direction of A. So this sometimes has other names. There's other names that you will see this by. We'll talk about other things. Sometimes, again, if you're doing geometry problems that I might give you, you might have to find a unit vector, and basically all unit vectors, you take the vector and you divide it by its length so that you know it's of length 1, and it's still pointing the same direction. So, and dividing by this is just a number. I should emphasize that as well, since I've been sort of emphasizing how you can't just divide vectors. This is a number. So I'm not actually dividing a vector by a vector or anything like that. You can't do that. You can't just take a vector and divide by another vector. This is a number. So what this is equal to is 1 over the length of A, that's just a number, times A, and that's just scalar multiplication. mind if you were sort of wondering when I said, I emphasized, for example, we couldn't just divide out vectors, but here is just multiplying a vector by another number. And this is the unit vector in the direction of A. And
so I'm just sorry to be so
okay, that sounds more. Was it just there class before? Divide out by the length of A, because the length of A contributes to the dot product. We had something direction A. So if I had something that would say, for example, my new A, I'm going to call it A prime, that's a little apostrophe that goes there. If I had a different A, it's pointing the same direction. If I have a new A pointing the same direction, I'd have something like, you know, -4, 6, 2. So we might remember that this is just a scalar multiple. I multiplied it by a scalar, I multiplied it by 2, I multiplied all the exponents by 2, it just points in exactly the same direction, but it's twice as long. So say I have this guy, the projection should be the same. Because A is just giving us the direction that we want to project onto, the length shouldn't matter. But if I take the dot product, I'm going to get a different answer. So I know that I have to take that into account. So if I take the dot product of A... I'm trying to give people a feeling for how this works. So it's not just a matter of just like giving the answer to the problem. I mean, certainly on the exam, I just want you to give the answer and enough explanation that I know you know you're good. But here, I'm trying to give people a feel for what's going on in geometry so people will understand it a little bit better so that when it comes time for things like the midterm, they will know what's going on. Alright, so if I take a dot product with this guy, I'm going to get an answer that's different. In fact, you might remember from some of the properties we discussed, my answer is actually going to be twice as big. And this should be apparent from the computations that we're doing. I'm going to get numbers that are twice as big all the way through. So I get -4 + 0 + 6, which is equal to 2. So it's a different number. So this is something that I know that dot products are related projections, but I know I can't just do a dot product because the length of A is part of the computation of the dot product, and I don't want it to be. I just want the thing that relates to the length of B and the angle. So I'm going to have to divide out by the length of A to get the length of this projection here. So I can compute the length of A. If you remember, we did that in first class, where we say the length of A is the square root of the square, you square all the components, you square all the coordinates, and we sum them all up. So we get -2² + 3² + 1², which is equal to 4 + 9, 1. So this is equal to the square root of 4. So this is my length of A, and I can divide out by that. And say here that the length of projection is equal to 1 divided by the length of A, and that's equal to 1 divided by the root of 14. And if I did this one over here, if I had my new A, so if I had my A prime, which is equal to square root of -4² + 6² + 2², as I said, my length should be twice as long, but it's sort of useful to go through these computations to get a sense of, you know, that our computations actually make sense, that I haven't been just sort of moving you along this whole time. So this is equal to square root of 16 + 36 + 4, which is equal to square root of 56, and because 56 is divisible by 4, we get 2 times the root of 14. We fold the 2 out of the square root of the 4, divide 56 by 4, we get 14, and we take the square root of 2, and we get twice the root of 14. So our new A is twice as long as we were expecting, and if we take our 2 here, then the length of the projection is 2 divided by 2 root of 14, which is equal to 1 over 14. So we got the same answer. So our dot products were different, our lengths of A were different, but our length of A would be relevant to the geometry of the problem. And so we got the same answer when we did the projection. But now, we don't just want the length of the projection, we want to have the projection going in the right direction. So we want it to go in the direction of A. So we're going to take our 1 over 14, but if we multiply it by A, it's also going to be longer or shorter, depending on whether A is longer or shorter. So if I have 1 over 14 times our A vector, then I'm going to get -2 over root 14, 3 over root 14, and 1 over root 14. But this vector is going to be, if I use my A prime, it's going to be twice as long as that.
Question.
Yeah.
By length of projection, wouldn't it be like more fair to call it a election?
What do you like about that?
Well, because we're multiplying it by A. It doesn't end up being the actual length of the rejection. It's just a scale of multiplying A.
So, root of 14 is the length of the rejection. So, this rejection vector that I've drawn in up here, this one or this one, whatever it looks like, right now, what I've computed so far isn't what its length is, which is 1 over 14. You must be after class where you have some confusion about this calculation. Alright, so if I did this guy, then obviously I would get a vector that's twice as long. So we know that this is the projection that we're looking for. But as we discussed before, we now want to divide out by the length of A so that we can, get the actual geometrical projection vector that we want. So this is just multiplying the length of the projection by A, so it's going the right direction now. We now have to divide it by the length of A. So the root 14 times the A vector divided by the length of A. Well, we just calculated the length of A. We've done that already. So that's kind of handy. We've already done it. So we want to divide it by root 14 again. And that's actually going to be on the bottom of these guys. So that's going to get 2 over 14, 3 over 14, and 1 over 14. And the same thing happens over here. If we want to divide it by the length, which is 2 over 14, then this is equal to, we take this guy, and we divide by 2 over 14, which is 4 over 2 root 14, 6 over 2 root 14, and 2 over 2 root 14, which, once we do the cancellation feature and divide everything by 2, we know we're getting the same vector. So our projection vector is the same, yeah?
So just to kind of understand, this is just a demonstration that the magnitude doesn't really matter, the direction of vector A, right?
Yeah. So we kind of demonstrated that geometrically, we had a problem that didn't depend on the length of A, only the direction of A, and that if we take a different A in the same direction, we have all the same computation, we get the same answer. So this is the answer that we get out in the end. You can simplify this if you want. So this is the answer that we get. If you just want to, though, if you memorize the formula that I recommend here. So I showed you in the class how to derive this formula. It has the length of A squared on the bottom. If you just memorize that, that works too. So if I ask you to do this on the midterm, I'm not going to ask you to rederive all of these principles that we've been talking about. I might just say something like find the projection. So I can skip all of these steps. The steps were meant to sort of help you sort of explore the problem a bit and understand what's going on a little bit. But I could just say, if I say find the projection, I give you just plug them in. Yes?
Should we just 14?
Yes, you're right. Thank you for pointing that out. As I mentioned, it's really important that you point it out when I make like arithmetic errors like that, then because they are probably confusing. So thank you for pointing that out. One of my friends managed to pull this off. One of my friends got like so fast to do currency where it's like millions of dollars, which is 10 cents. And the first time a student corrected her arithmetic in class, she said, it's really important you correct my arithmetic in class, because it's important to be a little bit confused that if I make a mistake, all the 10 cents. So I give you $1 million and hands them this, like, Rhodesian currency, I don't remember what it was, something like that. Where, yes, it's Zimbabwe. So hands them this like old Zimbabwe currency that's like $1 million Zimbabwe dollars, which is worth like 10 cents or something. But she hands them this, and then just like, yeah, and then just keep going with the
questions.
So I thought that was
funny.
Yeah, I think now they've got the currency, So this is what you do, if you just want to plug it into the formula, which is on this thing here, if you just want to plug in the formula, that's also completely okay. This whole thing was to sort of help you understand what was going on with some actual numbers, but if you just sort of have this formula in your head, you can just do that. So if you just have your A and B, take our dot product, so I just say, well, I know my A is equal to 2, 3, 1, and B is equal to 1, 0, 3. I can just do the same calculation. I calculate my dot product, that is equal to 1, and I calculate that unrealistic, it might appear in the context of a bigger or complicated problem. So that's taking a projection. That's what they usually use in the dot product. Okay. So I see that kind of thing. Feel free to just provide an answer like that. Again, I am looking for exact answers, so if you get something like a root of 14, don't try to compute the square root of 14. Like, that's not important. I'm not allowed to use calculators, so you probably don't have a way to do actually can. Some of you can. Some of you probably actually know how to do square roots, and that's awesome. I'm not going to stop you, but yeah, I don't need to know the square root of 14. Also, like, I know you guys know how to do fractions. If you get something like this and don't bother reducing to negative 1 over 7, don't worry about that. Like, that's not the important part of the problem. Like, if you like it better that way, just like, it's bugging me seeing it 2 over 14. By all means, reduce it. Like, feel free to. But if you don't, you just leave it like something like that, that's completely fine, because I'm not worried about your fraction problem. All right, so projection is really important. When we're looking at lines and planes. I'm going to talk about lines first, and then I might not actually get to planes until next class. So this linear algebra is going to lead to the next week a little bit. But I'll start talking about lines, and then this projection is going to be really important when we talk about planes. So these are subsets of tridimensional space. This is what we're going to be doing calculus on. I'm moving this on a little bit so you guys can just finish talking again if you want to. We're going to talk about lines. So one of the handy tools we have these vectors, they point in a direction. If you want to look at a line in, say, two space or three space, one of the ways to do that is, say, find a vector on the, say, point in the direction of the line, and a point, call it A, which is still a vector because it's sort of, you know, it's a point in three space, some point A that is on the line, then the line is going to be the set A plus T times B for all T a real number. So what this is doing is, I'll draw this in two space, but you can also do this in three space or in higher dimensions. Yep. Yes. So the idea is, if I'm going to draw in two space, but this doesn't work in higher dimensions, so especially three space, we will be doing computations in three space even if they're a little bit harder to draw. So if A is some point, so I want to consider a line that looks like this, and if I can find some point B, and then I find some vector that points the direction that I want, so this is my vector B. So B is at the origin, it would be just parallel, but it would be like that. But if I put it at B, it's pointing the direction that I want, then I'm going to consider I'm going to consider A plus B, which is this point here, remember parallel that I'm on. But also, if I scale B, if I make B much longer, that's still on the line. Or if I make it point the opposite direction, it's still in the line. So I want to consider all of these. I want to consider B multiplied by any real number. So, you know, positive numbers, negative numbers, and so on. And that's going to fill in this line. So this is a way to write down lines. So there's a few other ways. I think your textbook covers a few. Just basically to come down to ways of transforming your arithmetic here. So what this is going to look like is, you know, this is the same thing as saying if I have A is equal to A1, A2, A3, and B is equal to A1, A2, A3. This is equal to A1 plus T times B1, A2 plus T times B2, A3 plus T times B3 for T in the real number. So this is a way to play with the arithmetic a little bit, so you might see it in this form as well. And then another form that your textbook puts it in is, they want to isolate T. They don't want to, so this is a parametric equation. You try to have a parameter T. So if T in this case is very large and negative, it's out this direction, and as you get bigger and bigger, it's up to zero, you hit A, and as you get bigger and bigger positive, you go the other direction. So it's a parameter. So if T goes from negative infinity to positive infinity, it sort of traces out the whole line. Yep?
Wouldn't you only need two? two for that other division, because you could just connect them up, right? You know, for your division, it would be in V1, V3, V4, V8.
So, I mean, are we talking about the two dimensions? So it's only a two-dimensional column. I guess I believe this is a three-dimensional thing over here. But in here, this is, yeah, this last four number of
units. Yeah. And also,
I don't have to see.
Yeah, T has to be the same. If I put in a different number here, then the,
I trust you.
Like, where it's going to be pointing to, it's going to be pointing a different direction.
It's like a vector in it plus a scalar times one direction plus a scalar times the other direction.
This is still a line, so there's only one direction. We're still working on lines. We haven't got the plans yet. We're just working on lines. So we're still on lines. So this is what the formula looks like. Again, if we're in two dimensions, it's just going to be two of those. And this is called parametric, because we have a parameter t that's going to go from negative infinity to infinity, and it's going to trace out the line. But sometimes they want to write this in terms of a set. So they don't want to have t in it. They want to have a set of points that satisfy a certain equation. So what that's going to look like is if we want to just divide, solve for t, and then just say all these things have to be equal. So what this is going to look like is we have t equal to,
which one, what that means?
All right, so you'll have to see the lines in different ways. then you're going to want to have two vectors, and you're going to be doing this in three spaces. Because if you just have a plane in two spaces, that's just the whole thing. So we're going to want to look at something in three space. So we might have two direction vectors. Okay, so it's a little hard to draw because you have to try to picture it. We have two different vectors that point two different directions. And we're going to say anywhere you can get to with either of these two directions is going to be on a plane. So we're going to say a plane is going to be something like some point on the plane plus s times v plus t times w. For s and v, real numbers. So we're going to define a plane. You can define a plane in that way. Yeah. So a point, yeah, this is a point or vector, same thing. And then these are your vectors. Well, I'll try to do this in three dimensions. We have our three dimensions. have some sort of a plane, and we have a normal vector that looks like this. The plane cuts through this, and perpendicular to it, all of them should have the same projection down in. I know this picture is not going to mean much when we come back to it, because it's not very clear what's going on. But the idea is that if I figure out, for the plane to be A, I figure out what the projection of A onto N is, and then I say, for it's going to be the set of all vectors that have the same projection. So this has been a bit whirlwind. I will talk about this part a little bit more next week.
Then the projection is what?
So the projection of any of these vectors onto this vector. So, okay, say I'm looking at this vector at this point. What is the projection onto the normal vector?
So, this vector? Can you say that as well?
So, say you're considering this point on the plane. Yeah. What does its as a vector, what does its projection onto the normal vector
do? It's nothing.
Where would the projection be?
Here.
Yeah, that's not nothing.
Or that point. The specific point.
Yeah. And say I was looking at the projection of this guy onto
here.
Yeah.
Ah, so they're all the same.
Yeah.
Ah, now I get it.
This is a little hard. It's pretty much at the end, so we will talk about this a bit more. So, but it's useful if you guys start getting your heads around it, and then when I talk about it in the next class, I will be able to be more clear.
Oh, thank you. Oh, so this is like midterm. Is it like time?
Yes.
Oh, can I take a note for the alt exam? Because to confirm with you, like, I have the accommodation center.
Yeah.
Every person will email. Like,
they haven't been sent to me yet. Members didn't have. So I will send them the exam at a time.
Oh.
I haven't written the exam yet, and
it's
weeks from now, but when I do, I will send it to
myself. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. So once they know how many students actually need the exam, I can send them out.
Oh, thank you. And then, for the midterm, will you give like combined questions? Like, for example, like, curl, you won't have that, right?
Sorry?
Oh, that's like curl, and all that?
Curl, you think?
Yeah, curl, the topic curl.
We haven't actually done it yet, so I'm going to be testing it. Like, if we, I might get to it before the midterm, so it might be out there.
Would you give, like, I like that example you did, like, this was a really detailed example. Like,
if I get into the court,
I really like how you did this example, like, really step by step. To me, quite far, but other topics to be okay with that, like, really step by step.
Yeah, I hope to do a lot of examples, so I'll try to go into detail.
Oh.
It's going to depend on the question, it's going to depend on what I think you know, but yeah, we'll try to go into detail. Yeah.
We give some brief questions.
If there are questions, then we can at least submit for questions. So I wouldn't ask you to do this year because it's approved in class, but I might ask you to prove these or something. Well, if I give you two vectors, I might say prove that there are polygons and you know how to do it. Or something like that.
Oh. But then you have to state the rule, right? Like, the dot product.
Yeah, you don't have to state that if you just want to do the dot product or something, then we'll kind of know what you're doing. But if you're worried you don't, then sometimes if you give a little more detail and say, I'm doing this because, and then, you know, but like, certainly in something like that, it's simple. Just do the dot product and say, like, this is why I'm doing it.
I don't have to. Like, prove the dot product itself.
Right. You don't have to do the proofs we did in class, like proving that the dot product showed that they're orthogonal that way. You don't have to do that proof again. I won't make you reproduce on that.
I won't be deducted much. Like,
right.
Oh, okay.
So you might have to do a proof, but it won't be as difficult as the proofs in class. There'll be a lot simpler.
Oh, thank you. Okay. Like, I really like that. Like, your
prepared. This is another box. It's not the box from the Sharpies.
Oh, hi, Sharpies. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, they're just Sharpies, and it's really cool. Okay, sorry.
I like it.
Yeah, you too. I'll change it. Are you down?